In the name of Jesus Christ, who fills us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So we're in the season of Lent, so I'm in the mood for confession. I have to confess to you that at the 8 o'clock service, I didn't need the notes or to read anything. And I was doing the sermon from the front step, and then somebody training a dog came to the back of the church, and it totally threw me off my game. And that's it for me today. So now you know, Satan wants to tempt me. All he needs is a puppy. It is the first Sunday in Lent, the week of Ash Wednesday. And so we have in mind this morning that and this reading about Jesus being tempted in the desert, in the wilderness, by Satan after fasting for 40 days. And of course, those ashes that we all received on Ash Wednesday. With the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Which reminds me of a story. One day, while in heaven, God was walking about, and Satan saunters up to him and says, "God, you know, I happen to think that anything you could do, I could do better." So God said, "Oh yeah, let's have a competition. What should we do?" Satan said, "Let's go make a human being." God says, "Fine, no problem at all. Would you like to go first?" Satan says, "No, why don't you go first?" So God bends down into the dirt, mashes everything together, all of a sudden forms a human being, breathes life into it, and there you go, perfect human being. Says, "Okay, Satan, it's your turn." Satan bends down, goes into the dirt, and God says, "Wait a minute, get your own dirt." Think about it, let's sink in. It's a good one. Get your own dirt. I think sometimes that we believe, we people believe that we get our own dirt. We can forget sometimes that every drop of oil, every piece of coal, every beautiful diamond started out in dirt. We forget sometimes as modern people that the materials that go into our cell phones, into our computer chips, gotta dig in the dirt, or we don't get it. Even this building is sitting on top of a pile of dirt. Without the dirt, we don't have the building. Without the dirt, we can't even walk around. Even the paved roads we get into our cars, let's not forget, sit on top of the dirt. Without which we get nowhere, without which we don't eat, without which we really have and do absolutely nothing. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The dirt. We forget sometimes that we are nothing if not for the grace of God, that we have nothing if not for the grace of God. And in the Job, Satan forgets this, but in our gospel today, Jesus does not. And I want to get to our gospel today, but I want to get to that in a minute, because I think first, getting to our reading from Deuteronomy helps us understand our reading from Luke a little bit better, and it deserves a little bit of our attention. So here's this episode towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy. The people have wandered through the desert for 40 years, just like Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. And they're about to enter into the promised land. Everyone's excited. They can see it over there. And Moses stops everybody and says, "Time out. Time out before we go into this beautiful place God has promised us." And the instruction is that when they get in there, they're supposed to take the first fruits from the ground, right? Before you do anything, as you pick the harvest, the first thing you pick, don't eat that. That goes to God to say thanks for the fact that you have anything to eat at all. The first fruits. So that we humbly remember that all we need and have come from God. That dirt that grows everything that we have in the harvest. Before you eat it, the first fruits go back to God. Then the instructions continue, mentioning this wandering Aramean. Now, some think that that's probably a reference to Abraham, but Abraham starts out in Ur, which is in Babylon. Arameans are from Syria. Who knows? The concept is what counts. And the concept is, before you were a great nation, your ancestors were wanderers who depended on the land, who depended on God's good grace just to survive from day to day. That this person, maybe Abraham, or at least the generic idea of being a foreigner in a foreign land, is how you guys all began. A nomad. Then it continues with the idea that you're supposed to, after you make this offering to the priest, recite this story about God's saving hand delivering all of you people from Egypt, from Pharaoh, and bringing them safely to the promised land. So in other words, this whole idea is, before you get comfortable in the promised land, just remember, don't forget that everything you have, from the food to your safety to this wonderful land, all come from God. Before you're comfortable promised land, remember, it all comes from the grace of God. Now it seems in our gospel today that Satan did not bet on Jesus remembering that his ancestors were wandering Arameans. He tends Jesus at his weakest after not eating for 40 days and being alone in the desert for 40 days. But Jesus in the story, of course, resists all the temptations. Each one of these temptations is an invitation to have power. Different kinds of power, each in its own way, these three temptations. Which ignores the reality that everything comes from God, and therefore all glory goes to God. So we don't want power for ourselves. We want to glorify God. From power over people, to religion, even to manipulating God, Satan throws everything at Jesus, and it doesn't work because Jesus remembers that everything is a gift from God. Where does Jesus get this wisdom? Where does Jesus get this inner strength so he can resist Satan in the middle of the desert after not eating for 40 days? I can't even resist the puppy. The clue comes from the beginning of the passage that we have this morning where it says, filled with the Spirit and then led by the Spirit, Jesus goes out into the desert. The Spirit, the same Spirit which in the Gospel of Luke overshadows Mary, the same Spirit that fills John the Baptist moments before we read about at Jesus' baptism. So Luke's Gospel, in both the Gospel and in the Acts, and the Acts of the Apostles, by the way, which we attribute to Luke, talks about the Spirit quite a bit. If you're reading Luke, you're reading about the Spirit. It's in the book of Acts that we get that reading that we remember every Pentecost, where, like tongues of flame, the Spirit rests on the disciples' heads as they sit in fear in the upper room. Now, sure, Jesus knew Scripture. He uses it in that passage to refute Satan, doesn't he? He seemed to be a well-educated, prayerful, and very committed Jew. And Luke likes to emphasize the power of God's Spirit working within him at the same time. So it's one thing to know Scripture and prayers, allow them to influence and inspire us. But who has the power to resist the tempter after starving alone in the desert for 40 days, no matter how much we pray and know Scripture? Only the power of God can get someone through that. Only the Holy Spirit, which is the point. It's not easy to go through life, is it? With its complications and temptations, particularly for those of us who have a desire to be on the right path. Particularly when we want to stay grounded in God's goodness. Particularly when we are comfortable in the promised land. We can forget We can forget that we are all wandering our means on a journey in life. As we grow and change, each of us is a nomad alone in the desert. But Christianity says that we don't have to feel nomadic, even though we are always roaming, even though we are always changing and growing. We are grounded by faith in Christ, not by land, culture, language, or a 401k, but in the love of God as seen in Jesus Christ. If we are always moving, Lent is a great time to ask, where is the Spirit leading us? What might be just over the horizon, what might be just over the horizon for you or me, for St. Mark's, for all of Christianity? What might be around the corner? How can we be open to the Spirit leading us into the wilderness so we might wrestle with the questions of our mortality, our humanity, our needs and desires? And if we are always moving, we might ask how we stay grounded. Lent is a perfect time to remember to stay grounded in the cross of Christ. Bonhoeffer, anyone? Bonhoeffer? Yes, maybe. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Great little book. Very little book. Meditations on the Cross. It's selections from his writings over the years. Meditations on the Cross. He says this in one of his writings that has been selected for that little book. A writing called God's Commandment in the Church. He says this. The cross of reconciliation means freedom to live before God in the midst of a godless world. That is, in genuine worldliness. The proclamation of the cross of reconciliation means liberation because it leaves behind those futile attempts to deify the world, proclaiming that the divisions, tensions, and conflicts between what is, quote, Christian and what is, quote, worldly are overcome, and summoning us to act and to wholeheartedly in faith in this reconciliation between the world and God. Reconciliation between the world and God, so that what is worldly is, of course, godly. This is what Satan gets wrong in the gospel today and what humankind continually wrestles with. To really be in this world is not to rely on this world, but to rely on God. To really be in this world. To find true freedom. We can't look to the instruments of humankind, but rather to the love of God. During Lent, we might pause to contemplate the meaning of the cross to us as Christians, both as the body of Christ and as individuals. We might stop and consider what it is to lose ourselves in self-sacrifice to others so that we might find real freedom in imitating Christ. It might help us remember that we are all wandering our means, long enough to remember that everyone, at least here and there, is lost and lonely and in need of love and care. Everyone. It might help us stop and think about those we marginalize and keep out because we feel we have earned this or that and deserve this or that, but they don't. Perhaps contemplating the cross will help us recall the sacrifices made for us so we might joyfully make sacrifices for others. Perhaps grounding ourselves in the cross will give us the ability to wander and grow. A few moments ago, at the beginning of all this, for that silly Satan joke, we started with dirt. And then we move to spirit, and then to the joy and freedom. For perfect joy and freedom. That's why. Because it's not found in this world, as the tempter will tell us. It's found in the love of God. So, we stay grounded in Christ, allowing ourselves as wandering Aramaeans to be led by the Spirit into the promised land. The promised land of perfect joy and freedom that we find in the love of God.